This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This message is brought to you by Abercrombie & Fitch. I've been ready for summer for a while, and now it's finally time for summer outfits. With a trip coming up, the A&F Vacation Shop has me covered. Abercrombie really knows how to do a lightweight outfit. Their tees, sweater polos, and linen blend shorts never miss. I wear Abercrombie denim year-round. Their shorts are no different and have the comfort I need for summer. Prep for your next trip with the A&F Vacation Shop. Get their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
What's up, Norm?
My nipples. It's freezing out there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Shea up the left side to the baseline on McDaniels. Floats it up, counts if it goes, and it goes!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Could you sense some of the frustration with some of the calls that Shea was able to draw?
Yeah, there was a lot of frustration out there.
Today's guest, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. Comedian Andrew Santino, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody, live right here on the Roku channel, back here in the chair after a couple of days off. Thanks to Suze for sitting in this chair and keeping the ship right down the lane right here on 844-204-RICH being the number to dial on the Roku channel as well as the Infinity Sports Network. Great to have everybody here today. We're three wide in terms of our guests. The very funny Andrew Santino, many of you may know from Dave and Ricky Stenicki, the movie, and he's got a fun golf podcast as well. No Bad Lies with Andrew Santino. He'll be here in studio in hour number two. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder taking care of game one in a blowout in the second half of a Minnesota Timberwolves team that led by four at the half. Oklahoma City needed a couple of quarters to finally get its footing. The top seed in the West with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to be named the MVP tonight, as everyone expects. He came up with a big game. We'll discuss all that with Sam Amick of The Athletic. And Mark Schlereth will be in studio in hour number three, as we will talk about the top story of the day with him. That's in a second. We'll unpack that. But good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. We had a fun last couple of days. I wouldn't say like directly down the narrow. We kind of bounced off the guardrails times. But yeah,
that's what we do every day.
Yeah, we didn't crash and burn, though.
That's what we do every day.
Yeah.
Good to see you, DJ Mikey Diaz and
D's Nuts.
What's up, Mike Del Tufo? Good to see you. And a man who hustles every single time he speaks into the microphone here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than TJ Jefferson. Good to see you, TJ. How are you?
I am awesome.
Well, I mean,
how about you?
It's great. What we did is we hit the ball off the monster to start this program, and
it's a long shot.
We're still standing at first. So,
but
it's
okay. Your work it's sometimes. Okay. Smell the roses.
It's okay. It just means we're trying hard. We'll discuss that later on in this program. It's a lot of fun to be sitting here in this chair today. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
friends.
Hello. So let's start with it, guys.
Let's do it, man.
The tush push survives. The National Football League membership have just voted. And they voted to keep the tush push legal as the Philadelphia Eagles tweeted out 2 minutes after the vote was announced
leaked
out of the privileged session, as it's referred to. We'll get to that in a second. Push on, as the Philadelphia Eagles tweeting that out with an Eagles logo. I'll describe for the radio audience. It is the tush push play.
shot from the defending side of the football's end zone. Interesting that the Eagles chose the Green Bay Packers as the team defending the tush push, since it was that
random, right?
Franchise that placed the rule to ban it in front of the membership of the National Football League, saying, let's get rid of this due to pace of play and player safety. Mm. And 22 of the 32 members of the NFL, that's how they refer to owners in the NFL, said, push on.
Days like a buffalo.
Correct. Like The Godfather Part 2 Rent.
The play
stays like a buffalo.
All right. And Rich, can we chalk that picture up to Richard the King petty level of pettiness with that picture? That wasn't that was an accident, Chris,
right? It is not an accident that they chose the Packers as the team on defense to celebrate the fact that their attempt to ban the play failed. And it failed by a wide margin. And interestingly enough, if you need a recap on all this, the rule change was first proposed back in the winter time when the competition committee and the player health and safety committees meet in advance of the main, if you will, annual meeting, as it's referred to, where all the owners get together and all the members get together and all the presidents and general managers and coaches. They take that photograph where, you know, Andy Reid sits in the middle as the man spread centerpiece, and they take photos, and then there's press conferences and TV network executives show up. It's a whole hoo-ha, as my mom would refer to it back in the day. It's a to-do. And the initial vote on it was tabled to this membership meeting in Minneapolis. And there was a lot of arm twisting and buttonholing in between. And I guess what happened today is in the full-on membership plus team presidents meeting, the Eagles showed up. Jeffrey Lurie walked in the room, and it was a full hour-long session where members heard pros and cons on the subject matter from folks other than other owners. Jeffrey Lurie apparently walked in the room with Jason Kelce. And Kelce spoke on behalf of keeping the tush push, and I'm sure what he addressed were the questions of player health and safety, to basically say, hey, I'm imagining, I'm one of those dudes that's in the trenches. I know how dangerous it is. I know how it works. I know how unstoppable it is, because I was part of the birth of it and the now, as you could see, high success of it. And I guess it worked. Whatever he said worked. So chalk one up to the New Heights pod. And also Jeffrey Lurie, and also to everyone who went in there and voted to keep this play, because I think it would have been a PR mess and disaster had they banned it. Because, listen, to the fan, it's as simple as a quarterback as talented as Jalen Hurts, who can bench press the world and has a lower half that can be pushed by somebody with quadzillas behind him and 2,000 yards of his own right, being one of the guys who pushes him, and an interior offensive line that just keeps doing its job so well that they are arguably the best in the league. And that includes a kid who took over for the future Hall of Famer Jason Kelce and Cam Jurgens. They're just better than you at it. It's that simple. And whereas you can sit here and say it's a dangerous play, and I heard there were members of the league's health and safety world inform the owners that, hey, listen, we don't have a large amount of data on this because not everyone does it. It's a play that isn't run very often. But we just looking at the way it's lined up and the way that there's all these massive people being shoved into one another, it's bound to lead to something you don't want to see. And when owners hear that, I'm sure there's some cash registers going off about liabilities and how much it's going to cost if they get sued after being furnished with this information from their medical experts. So there's that part of this too, from what I'm told. But when you see the so-called face of the sport in Patrick Mahomes having his kneecap shoved to the side of his leg in the midst of a vanilla old school quarterback sneak, and I've never seen that on a tush push to a fan, it's like, what are you talking about, health and safety? What are you talking about, pace of play? The only reason why it would slow the game down is if a member of the defense, say Frankie Louvu of the Commanders, keeps jumping over the top prior to the snap over and over again, that it turns the play into a farce and forces the son of Hockley to basically threaten to pull somebody over. If you keep doing it again, kids, I'm going to award a touchdown for the other team.
Is that one of those, don't make me come back there when you're driving?
I'll pull this car over.
You make me stop and pull over. Guess what, kids? We're going to take your phones away. You know? So I understand why somebody in the membership would like to get rid of that play on these grounds. Also, there's a total advantage for the offense. Now, I've been told, again, even though our third hour guest, Mark Schlereth, has said before that defenders are not allowed to be shoved in the back. And that is a very advantageous circumstance for the offense, where clearly they are allowed to push the ball carrier in the back. I've been told, Mike Pereira told me this very morning, there's nothing in the rule book that prevents a defender from shoving another defender in the back to try and stop a play, unless it's a kicking play. Then there's a problem.
Right.
But on a regular offensive play, have at it.
Okay.
There's nothing in the rule book to prevent that. But if the defender stops the tush push, right? Let's say that the offense gets the benefit of having forward progress. So the ball's marked wherever you stop the play. Mm-hmm. And if you push them back, the offense gets forward progress. The defense doesn't get to, say, push you back and have loss of yardage.
Oh, no?
No. It's forward progress.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it would be great for a rule change if you want to make it that, hey, guess what? If you're going to line up and push your offensive player in the back, then the defense is allowed to, then you remove forward progress.
I like that.
From the table. The defense now, once this play's over, when it's over, that's where the ball's marked. So now on offense, you're running a risk of losing yards because you forfeit your right to forward progress. That may be one way to fix this play if you think it's unstoppable. Now that's not very, very healthy player safety, because I guess you have to blow the whistle or something like that. But do you let the whistle go if you're the ref on such a thing? You're opening up a Pandora's box. I'm trying to figure out how to make this play a little bit more stoppable, because that's why I think this rule was put on the table, with all due respect to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, let's be honest. 10 teams voted against this because they're sick and tired of getting their brains beaten in by it. 22-10 is the final score. So that's why I thought this was out there. And that's why I thought 22 teams should at least vote to keep it, because it looks like we can't stop it. So let's legislate it out of the game. If you can't beat them, then go to the lawyers and come up with language. Like, that's what it sounds like to me.
I thought this, if you can't beat them, join them.
Well, there are some teams that are attempting to do that, but you've got to have a quarterback big enough, strong enough. You've got to have an offensive interior great enough. And it seems like the Eagles are the best at it. And find yourself three guys up front who are pretty damn good, and a quarterback who's pretty damn good, and a running back, and two people who are pretty damn good, and shove away. So Philadelphia gets to keep its favorite play, and I think the league gets to, you know, as much as they're concerned about health and safety, and there are some who do it for a living and are genuinely wringing their hands over this play. But at this point in time, it sure looks like we're trying to get rid of it because they can't stop it.
Well, they're close. I mean, they were only two votes shy. 22 voted for it, 10 against.
No, I know.
According to Adam Schefter,
you need 17 to pass it. It's got to be in 50%. You need 24 to pass to say yes.
Yeah,
so they're
14
shy, Chris.
No, 22 voted for it.
Correct.
That's why I'm reading
20
it. Voted for the ban.
Ah.
That's the way I read it. Final vote was 22 to 10. So they were too shy? Adam Schefter saying some of the teams have voted against it. Ravens, Patriots, Jets, Lions. Not surprised given who those head coaches are.
Well, 22 to 10 is the final score, and it's not enough when it comes down to it. We'll talk about it with Mark Schlereth. I can't wait to ask him about what it would be like in that pile and how it's run and all that good sort of stuff. And then obviously we'll talk about the National Football League the rest of the way. So they were shy of it. They couldn't get it through. Just a little bit. I guess those who are trying to ban it just need to get a little bit more shove.
A little more shove.
Got it.
A little more shove.
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. When we come back, let's talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder getting it done here in game number one. You got the Knicks and the Pacers tonight, and it'll be a cauldron in Madison Square Garden, not just in the stands for the Pacers, but also for the man doing the analysis on TNT. Interesting that Reggie Miller will be in the building for that one. I don't know. Will they bring back Dale Davis and Rick Smits too? Let's get a sideline report from him. From the Dutch boy in the paint.
Let's go over to Jamal Tinsley.
Let's go to, yeah, that's a good one. Very good.
Chris Mullen.
And there's already complaints that
left shrimp.
SGA is getting too many calls. Too many calls.
I mean, doesn't that happen when superstars play?
When you're the MVP, I guess you get called.
Well, let me just say this before we throw it a break here. Let's talk about it a little bit. He is the MVP of this league. We're going to hear tonight. Not just because of the way he played.
We assume.
Again, not just the way he played this year, but also he is the only guy I've ever heard of who's got a hard and a soft G in his last name. Never heard of that before. It's tough to do.
It really is.
And he's getting calls like he's the MVP of the league.
Yeah, big time.
But he's also earning them.
He's working, man.
28 drives to the basket last night. Just 7 for Anthony Edwards. 7. A lot of jump shots being settled for. And he's trying. It's tough for Anthony Edwards. He was talking after the game about how he needs to be better off the ball. Needs to be better off the ball because he's not getting it. And he said he's going to go back to the film and try and figure it out, what Oklahoma City's doing on defense, packing it down in the paint. And just 6 second half points for Julius Randle. That's the way you beat the Minnesota Timberwolves right there. But, hey, whether you think he's flopping, as Jamal Murray clearly did, imitating SGA in the second round series loss for the Nuggets, 28 drives to the basket, it's going to earn you 13 fouls called, or at least some of the whistles. If you don't think they're being properly called, he's going to the basket.
Yep.
And he's putting his body into the cauldron. Certainly when you've got, like, Gobert down there. So Oklahoma City got its sea legs under them in the second half, blew out the Timberwolves. Game 2 is in a couple of nights. We'll talk about it with the Athletic's Sam Amick here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, the senior NBA writer who was there is zooming in from Oklahoma City when we come back. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, It's game-changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit Ebglyss.Lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
So I guess I didn't read the full text of Ian Rappaport's tweet, but the final vote of 22-10 to finish up a couple of votes shy mirrors the final score of the Eagles' win over the Packers in the playoffs.
Yeah,
in the wild card round to eliminate the Eagle the Packers. So
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I did not. I did not notice that.
Well, what happened was all the owners, they conspired to have that be the final vote because 10? It's all rigged.
That's the only way I could see that happening, Chris. Yeah,
it's all part of the script.
Basically, they're three votes. They're 3 votes away, which means they're Eagles aren't out of the woods, right?
No.
It's not out of the woods because usually these things get voted on multiple times. They'll give a shot at it. And if there is no shot at it, they'll just pull the proposal, like Detroit's proposal to reseed teams in the playoffs or for the playoffs, regardless of division, it's just by record alone. So wild card teams like the Vikings would have a better seed than division winners like the Bucks last year.
Right.
So the final game last year wouldn't have been, winner has the bye and loser goes on the road. It would be winner has the bye, loser has a home game anyway.
Well, less drama. Less
drama, but maybe more equitable in people's minds. I don't agree. I think the winning your division should mean something significant in the same way that the end zone means something so significant to those who feel there should be a punishment for fumbling into and out of it. Which is my way of making you see my point, even though I disagree with yours when it comes to the fumbling through the end zone.
Funny how that's never come up for a vote.
The fumbling through the end zone?
Yeah.
It has not. Well, you know why.
Nobody wants it.
Nope. That's not true.
That is true.
Nope.
It would come up
I'm
for
not
vote.
On the competition committee.
If it had it.
Yet, Western Conference Finals underway. The Eastern Conference Finals tip off tonight to discuss that and also the looming non-playing season and NBA draft. Our friend from The Athletic, senior NBA writer Sam Amick, back here in the program. How are you doing, Sam?
Good morning, Rich. Doing great. Thanks for having me out here in OKC.
Always. What's going on, sir? Oh, well, you tell me. What was it like in the building last night?
Marketing is a funny thing. A lot of times sports franchises opt for hyperbole, if that makes sense. But the Thunder calling themselves Loud City is on point. This might be the loudest arena in the league. I haven't been here for a while. Obviously, they fell off until last year. But my gosh, it is decibel levels on 10, and honestly, a really good energy. I mean, it's a college type crowd, and you know, and that's the part of the country we're in. So loud and raucous, and obviously happy after the way game one ended for their team.
Do they lead the association in fans dressing alike? Sam,
they are pretty aggressive about, you know, they give the t-shirts, and I mean, they're not the only team that does this, but you know, if you don't put it on, then there's a little shaming that happens on the jumbo,
like Game of Thrones, like Game of Thrones. They ring the bell, but they put those people on the jumbotron who are not wearing the shirts.
Correct. And here's the best part, because this is gonna dovetail nicely with the LA part of you.
Yes.
My favorite, Ramona Shelburne took a picture of this and it was amazing. My favorite, like, outlier is the one and only Jimmy Goldstein.
Of course. Yes.
So Jimmy, you know, for anybody watching and listening who doesn't know, is, you know, kind of NBA number one fan, celebrity, you know, and an older man at this point who wears incredible, you know, he's a fashion designer as well. So he's got his one-of-a-kind fit on, and he has the best seat in the house sitting courtside. And so you will just have this sea of white Thunder t-shirts, and then one guy on the floor who is certainly not going to put that t-shirt on.
Well, and then we'll get to the basketball part of this. What the Thunder should do is they should give away Jimmy outfits and have them, all the fans, wear them.
Dress That's like a lot of work.
Dress like Goldstein. It's expensive. Oh. It'll be pricey. It'll be pricey, because I'm sure what Jimmy wears.
Python ain't cheap.
Yeah.
You should make a bumper sticker out of that.
Python
ain't cheap. All right. So Loud City is 1-0 now, Sam. And so the conversation coming out of these games is that SGA has sort of earned the crown of MVP that he's going to get, I believe, tonight, Sam. But the question is he getting too much of the benefit of the doubt and whistles that the Nuggets thought he did not deserve and was flopping for? What's your two cents on this subject matter with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky conversation. Incredible player. You kind of alluded to it before I hopped on, you know, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. The one thing that gets lost in the conversation, and amidst, you know, all the frustration about how often he goes to the line, is that for me, the saving grace, or at least one of them, is that the numbers will tell you, like, this dude is attacking the paint at a rate that is elite. And in terms of, like, you know, the actual percentage of time that he goes to the line in relation to attacking the rim and attacking the paint, I earlier in the season, I had compared him to Jimmy Butler. And it's like Jimmy's rate, you know, is far greater than SGA's. And so, he, you know, the point is that he is the way he plays is advantageous on that front, because he can obviously finish and get the job done without the whistle. But he also has become, you call it a foul merchant, call it a free throw merchant, you know, call it just crafty. He's become very adept at also getting the whistle. You know, that play, I think third quarter last night, when Edwards is guarding him on the left side and he drives, and it was kind of SGA all in one play, where he, you know, he finished with that floater off the glass and also got the call, and that's what he's been doing all year. That's why he's going to be MVP. And it doesn't make me as mad as others. Honestly, aesthetically, it's not to me as bad as like peak James Harden, you know, but I get it, because it certainly affects the viewing experience for fans.
Yeah, he had 14 free throw attempts in game one, Sam. The rest of his teammates a combined 12. Combined 12.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and you could already see Chris Finch choosing his words carefully when it comes to the whistles and the frustration that the Timberwolves were definitely showing. I don't think it's going to change until maybe they get to Minnesota. I don't know. So what do you think the Timberwolves approach to game two will be differently? Best you can tell.
Yeah. But to your point, I'm curious. We're about 2 hours away from Chris Finch doing media at a hotel here in OKC. And I will certainly be stopping by to see what type of tone he decides to take. You know, last night I wasn't at his press conference, but I heard that basically he took the high road and was fairly political. I think once he wakes up this morning and sees video and thinks about the fact that a 2-0 deficit would be pretty tough to come back from, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he escalates the you know, that conversation today. Beyond that, I don't know. You know, I feel like the Timberwolves are better equipped to beat the Thunder than the Nuggets were, which is saying something considering they pushed him to seven games. But the Julius Randle first half versus second half was, you know, the story of last night. And I don't know what that means for the rest of the series, because, you know, he's not going to be Karl Malone in his prime all the way through, and they can't count on that. And they just didn't have enough. Ant wasn't, you know, fantastic. That Thunder defense, I mean, it is a star player soul sucker. You know what I mean? Like it did it to Joker. One of the tougher series I've ever seen him have. And Ant, you know, he had this energy yesterday, this kind of alpha male. And I'm, you know, really like, I'm going to show you that I'm better than SGA edge to him. And it didn't matter. It just didn't. He just couldn't do enough. So I'm not sure exactly what they need to do.
Well, I mean, you could see that Oklahoma City being long and tall, certainly on the perimeter, right? Two-way players all over the place. Yeah. Big men underneath. You could see that's already a blueprint that other teams in the association are following, right? You could take a look at, say, again, we'll turn to the Knicks in a second. You look at the Pistons, for instance, right? They're kind of, there's a bunch of teams that are building similarly to what Oklahoma City is building, which leads me to my last question here. Have we gotten out of the they're going to be in the business for Giannis woods because of how they're doing right now, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I poked around on that the other day and got like a fairly firm, like, no, that's not what we're doing. Like, that's, we're trying to be contenders for a decade, and no offense to Giannis, but he's not a, you know, he's still only 30, but, you know, he'll be a 40-year-old in a decade. That's my, you know, Sac State math here. they want this group to be together for a long time. And it's hard to not assume, and I've gotten some of these indications that, you know, that, not to go too big picture, but that it is, you know, at least partly informed by the kind of the origin story here, right? The fact that James Harden getting traded to Houston because they couldn't get that extension worked out back in 2012. You know, their big three of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James, after that finals run, you know, just kind of, we'll never know what might have been, because they did break it up and they did take a different approach. Now, that's obviously apples to oranges when you talk about trading for somebody like Giannis. You know, they traded for Kevin Martin and Jeremy Lamb. But the point is that, like, they are, you know, very patient and excited about this group and do not appear to have any intentions of moving off of them.
Sam A. McKeer on the Rich Eisen Show from The Athletic, zooming in from Oklahoma City. So the series between the Knicks and Pacers, in your estimation, is going to come down to what, Sam?
I mean, the first thought is just, it's not exactly outside the box here, but the star power component, Jalen Brunson is just incredible. And when I did our little predictions and picked Knicks in seven, I mean, that was the tipping point for me, is that, you know, Tyrese has been fantastic. I've admittedly kind of, this is a selfish me thing, but like, I've enjoyed this hilarious subplot of, you know, it was our place that had the anonymous player poll that, where he was voted most overrated, and it's become, you know, fuel for his fire during this whole playoff run. But Jalen is a difference maker to me, who I think is going to get them over the top. And I just am impressed with their, like, shape-shifting on the Knicks side of identity. This was a team that, where we questioned their grit and their toughness earlier on, when you had Karl Anthony Towns, you know, being swapped, you know, for Julius Randle, who was a tougher player by all accounts. And they have, like, whether it's the kind of iron sharpens iron part of the first round when, you know, playing against Detroit, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, I think that type of matchup, you know, got them ready for this run. You know, but the Pacers are tough, man. I mean, it's a fun story. Nobody thought they were actual title contenders all season long. They start 10-15. You know, so I wouldn't be shocked if my prediction's wrong, but I think the Knicks pull it out.
You sure you're not choosing the Knicks because you don't want to be hounded like Windhorst if you're wrong by the Knicks fans afterwards, Sam? Did you see that one?
I did see it.
Yeah. Poor Windy.
Poor Brian. I saw somebody in the weeds, with someone last night asked me, because Brian was at the game and didn't sit in the bowl. And some a media member was wondering why he would do that. And I was like, well, did you see the video of like he didn't want to interact with fans? Like that's, you know. I thought you were gonna say, are you sure you don't want the Knicks to win because you'd rather be in New York City for the NBA Finals?
No. I'm not saying that at all.
Also listen, true.
But that all said though, Sam, it seems like you're saying it's gonna be like a WWE SmackDown at the Garden. It's gonna be Halliburton versus Jalen Brunson. Like the wrestling folks had that kind of right? They kind of called their shot.
And they do, but I don't know how you feel about this. I think I'm ready for Mr. Halliburton to get back in the ring. Like,
you mean his dad?
Yes.
Outside like, come on.
I don't know.
You made a mistake. This is too much.
No, he's been banned for the rest of the playoffs, it appears, or who knows. So what is the Giannis latest? What do you think? We're still too soon for this? When do you think this pops, Sam?
My understanding is, you know, that he's still, you know, reading the room. That's the phrase I keep going back to, that he has not met with the Bucks in any formal capacity to discuss things. He obviously is talking to his people. He has a pretty small group. His brother, of course, Thanasis, is a big part of that, and his right hand guy. He is, you know, it's going to be, I think, a slow process. It will start with their group having more of a formal meeting, and I believe he's back in Greece at the moment. Then it'll be, you know, followed by meeting with the Bucks, and from there, it's just a matter of how did he feel about the conversation. It's so interesting, though. The context having changed, and even, you know, since the Bucks season came to an end, when you think about it, like if I'm John Horst, the Bucks GM, I'm going to for sure find some time to lay out for Giannis that, you know, and you're not trying to benefit from somebody's misfortune, but, you know, hey, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, Jason Tatum tore his Achilles, and the Celtics were already going to have to probably, you know, bust up their roster in some capacity because of the second apron luxury tax hell that they're in. The point there is like a team like Boston not only wasn't able to defend their title, but is going in the wrong direction. The Cavs, who you thought looked like an absolute juggernaut, got bounced. The Bucks, you know, didn't look like they were on the level with any of those teams during the season, but, you know, the East just got a little more flat, if that makes sense. And that, you know, might help the Bucks make their pitch in terms of imploring Giannis to have some patience. If he doesn't have the patience and he does raise his hand and say, I think I'm ready to go, then obviously we have a you know, massive story and the type of thing where every team in the league is going to be trying to get in, you know, in the mix there.
Well, then what guides it then, Sam? Because again, just to circle back to the earlier part of our conversation, the Thunder did advance the Western Conference Finals. They are three games away from the NBA Finals. The reason why a lot of people are mentioning them as a Giannis destination is because they got the picks and the kids to send back to the Bucks, the players, to make something like that happen. They have the stuff, and there's a couple other teams that do have something that they can maybe flip to the Bucks to make something like that happen, unless Giannis raises his hand and names the team he wants to go to.
Yeah.
And thus the Bucks might not get a similar return. How do you think this does play out, Sam?
This is my, just to be clear for the aggregating audience.
Nice.
This is speculation, like, you know, not in for, this is just my own opinion.
Do not aggregate, says Sam Amick. Do not aggregate. Okay.
No, if I had to handicap it, I think if he did say he wants out, I feel like he would name a team or two, that he would be specific. I don't think he's not trying to help the Bucks to make sure they get maximum return. You know, if he's ready to go, it's to go somewhere specific. And that would obviously limit what they get back, because then, you know, let's say the Knicks fall short and it's like, hey, I could go be the king of the garden, which I do. We don't talk about the Knicks that much, but I know Giannis fairly well. Like, that's the one that tugs at me a bit, because the business side of his brain is about as cutthroat and kind of, you know, global, if you will, as anybody in the NBA. And I could see that unfolding potentially. Maybe he goes the other way and wants to play with Steph Curry, though I don't think that's, you know, the one that he would go for. But I think he probably would pick a team or two, and then they would, you know, have to figure out how can they maximize the return in that context.
How about the Lakers to finish up? Because that's another way of me asking about a team that a lot of people are interested in that don't appear to have too many avenues to make big moves, unless maybe Giannis just chooses them, Sam, right?
I don't see that, because we learned some, not that we didn't know this, this season with the Bucks, when Damian Lillard was out because of the blood clot, we kind of got reminded that Giannis really likes the ball in his hands. And he had, I don't know if you ever saw it, Rich, he had this quote that, you know, I think everybody in the organization certainly took notice of, where he talked about, it was kind of a reach of an analogy to a cookie jar. And if you are an only child with a cookie jar, then you just take whatever cookie you want. And that the point was that if you have the ball all the time, you do whatever you want with it. But if you got a bunch of siblings, then you hold the cookie jar a little tighter and you're picky about which cookie, you know, like you got to fight for the ball, essentially. And that messaging is something I think should be remembered going forward, because a situation like the Lakers, like, I don't see it, because I don't think he feels like sharing the ball with Luka. You know, and I think honestly, if Damian Lillard didn't get hurt, and it's, their relationship's great, so I'm not saying it's like they weren't clicking thing, but like, I think Damian probably would have gotten traded, and part of the motivation would have been that, you know, that you know, Giannis was ready to try it with the ball in his hands most of the time again. So to me, the Lakers has got some issues.
Well, then that would eliminate the Knicks too, wouldn't you say? I mean, Brunson's got ball in his hand quite a bit, but at some point, I guess he's going to have to realize that, or maybe, Sam, you were misreading it. It just means Thanasis never got a cookie as a kid, like ever. You know, could be that too.
He's a pretty svelte guy. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Is it? Sam, yeah, thanks for the time, man. Look for more of my texts to you for more visits over the next several weeks. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Safe Always travel. Enjoy it. Thanks, Rich.
Safe travel. Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. So there you have it.
Okay.
I mean, if he really doesn't want to come out here, right, because it'd be tough to share the ball. Where's he going to go? SGA's got it, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's, wherever he goes, there's going to be somebody who's, he's going for a reason. He can win a title because there's somebody terrific there.
Hmm.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
maybe just stays.
Houston? Maybe Houston? Like, who's the ball dominant guy there? Sengun? He would definitely be flipped for him, right?
I don't know what that package would look like in Houston, but
I think he ends up staying.
Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music, great artist, BT Dubs, but wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
So I have here, word for word, verbatim, three of the great sports rants of all time. And we would love for you to do your best Victor Newman. Is that okay?
No, the first one is Herm Edwards.
Yes, Herm Edwards. The first one up, Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports. Is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go to play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. 'Cause it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, And October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it, Mike Dilton.
Great Allen Iverson, my God, man.
Go for it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? You're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. You're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Eric, I think that's your finest work, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, thank you very much.
One of our favorite to play back for all of you.
Thank you very much.
Right here on the Roku channel.
I can feel it.
A hearty congratulations. I'm wearing purple in support of our friends at the Roku channel. And our buddy Roku Joe, Joe Francetta, and the rest of the Roku team.
Yeah, Roku Joe.
That puts sports on your Roku channel portal every single day. First sports Emmy. The documentary, The Pick, is in.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Congrats, awesome, guys.
So it's a combination of people very cool. I adore, the Roku channel folks, the NFL Films folks.
Yeah.
And also one of the people in the documentary, me. So it's just a cornucopia of people I really like.
Wow. I like it.
I'm in it. No, but congratulations again. Sure. Roku Joe, well-deserved. Everybody there got an Emmy coming their way.
That's awesome.
Fantastic news on that front. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls shortly on the program. And hour number two, we got time for you. Brock Purdy's been paid, everybody. Pizzade.
Hey.
As a matter of fact, I believe that news hit shortly after we left the set in Atlanta for Celebrity Family Feud against Dan Patrick, coming soon to a television near you.
Right.
This summer. We don't know when. We don't know when, by the way. We can't reveal anything about what happened. So all I know is we showed up, and that's all I can say.
Well, yesterday, Rich, I did actually give a shout out, and Chris and I, to just that whole everyone that had everything to do, from the people we dealt with on emails to everyone at Tyler Perry Studios to the producers, hair and makeup, just first class
all
the way.
Yes,
man.
And shout out to everyone but Todd Fritz.
No.
I'm sorry. We're still feuding. I can't give it up. But the reason why I bring up the feud is, again, we found out as soon as we left Family Feud that Brock Purdy had been pizzade. I was still wearing my Rich label.
Where's that?
Name tag. It's still at home. I forgot it. I'll bring it in. While delivering what I'm about to deliver here again, and my thought process has not changed at all, is the kid deserved it. And I know you don't like it, Chris. You don't like it that it's the time for somebody to be paid, and it's time that your time is up, and thus it's time for you to get market value. And what his market value is a $52.5 million a year quarterback. Ooh. That you could sit here and say he doesn't deserve it, but that's what he deserves to hit the market, as a guy who has taken his team to the playoffs multiple years, actually took him to a Super Bowl, and in that Super Bowl, and everyone's expecting the last pick in the draft of his draft to basically go potty in his own helmet, down his own leg, whatever you want to do. True. He played a terrific football game. Juwan Jennings was set to be the MVP of that game, and he didn't throw the ball to himself. Famous words from a Super Bowl wide receiver. or pardon me, a particular Super Bowl quarterback at the time spouse. Listen, it was his time. They hit the number. Purdy, to his credit, didn't go in with both fists. He's not even the highest paid, most recent new freshly minted generationally paid quarterback. And he's got a hell of a lot more playoff experience and wins than the people who got paid better than him.
That's true.
He's got a no trade clause. He's top five in terms of the total amount, top seven tied in terms of annual average. So that's a way that the Niners can go ahead and sign, say, Fred Warner, as they have. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know what you keep saying this for, Mike. You keep shaking your head at me, and you're saying things under your breath. He's got to get better. The guy takes the team to the playoffs. Last year is an outlier because of the number of people that got hurt and injured. The guy is a perfect avatar for the way the coach wants the position to be played. He plays it better than Jimmy Garoppolo did. He plays it way the hell better than Trey Lance. He saved the entire front office from the fire of missing on Trey Lance. He went ahead in the biggest moment of his life with a brass ring opportunity placed in front of him. He kicked the hell out of the door down, and he's now paid the way that he is paid. He is an avatar for anything that is possible for the NFL writ large.
Yeah, but it's like Dak and him. You got to win. You're getting paid that much money, Rich. Come on.
Only one team wins at the end of
right.
the day.
I know.
And there's 52 other guys got to help you do
I'm with
so
Chris on
Brock
this.
Purdy, way to go, Niners, but now it is on Brock Purdy to back it up with his quill pen that he signed his contract with.
TJ's going.
No, I know how you feel about the kid, man.
I feel more, it's more about the general idea and premise of your turn. Like,
I know that. You've been railing against that
and
for
years. And so when you break it down individually, Brock Purdy actually does deserve this. The guy's been to a Super Bowl. He's had a lot of success, and he's put up really good numbers. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, those guys
haven't done it yet.
Haven't done anything compared to this guy, and they're making Tua. Goff has been to a Super Bowl. Those guys just like they don't deserve it, man. Like at least Brock Purdy has performed well and advanced all the way to the biggest game on the doorstep of a championship.
Yeah, you're not batting an eye when Burrow gets it,
right? So,
you
know,
seen it.
It's more the general idea of, oh, they're next up. It's their turn. Boom, paid. That I rail against. It's nothing personal against Brock Purdy.
But Purdy's turn would have been to get paid a penny more than Dak.
Right.
And he did not. He turned it down. Or a penny more than Tua. Or a penny more than the other quarterbacks just mentioned, former first overall quarterback. He is as further away from a first overall drafted quarterback than any other draft player can be.
I feel like if Purdy and his team really wanted to dig in and say, I want $60.1 million, they could have done it. And they really could have dragged this out.
I think the Niners would have passed on it.
Ooh.
That's what I think.
Wow.
That there was a certain spot where by which they'd be like, that's just not going to happen.
Wow.
And I don't know who's going to be the next player to be paid better than Dak.
Well, Stroud is up next.
I don't think that'll be it either. He'll try, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the kid all, you know, personally. Yeah. If I had to lay down a marker, I'd go Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
The way it started. And if he continues on that path, I don't know. But you could see the rest of the NFL, the way that the members are thinking about this position. Brock Purdy wasn't the guy who was going to bust down the door.
Right.
And to his credit, I think this is a fair and equitable deal. He's being paid more money per game now, or as much money per game as he's made in his entire career to date.
Wow.
Each week, his weekly salary matches everything he's earned to date. And he was there. He did it. They needed him. He created the opportunity after the opportunity was created for him by the football gods. Yep. And now he's got the quill pen in his hand like he's Johnny Hancock.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.